Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
I hate you so much, Eric.
I just rely on Google to remember my passwords for me. So if Google ever goes out of business, I'm fucked. But before then, I'm fine. You know? Never going to forget a password.
Yeah, Google has all my passwords too.
Yeah. Ty, what do you have to say?
Ty, what's up?
I don't know. I just like clicking that button and putting my hand up.
Oh. Well, I've started the recording, Ty. So. The recording.
Oh, well, in that case.
Wait, we're not going to talk about the redraft?
No, because none of us have the materials.
Okay, fine.
I think it would be easy to talk about if Eric sent us the list.
But I
can't
available.
Send the list because it's on The Athletic. And none of you have accounts because you're all peasants.
It would be great if we had a Talking Hockey account paid for by the person that
great.
Has the business information.
I agree. Yeah. That would be awesome.
We could all read it.
That would be amazing. I'm looking forward to the day.
We could all have access to the resources. Well,
Eric,
only one person can make that happen. And this guy recently hired a person for the company that he works for. So I hope you didn't put this on your resume as like job experience for things that you've done in terms of managing people.
Of course I did. What do you mean? I'm the perfect manager.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I wish I got contacted as a reference. I would say, Eric, manage? What? He hardly manages to show up on time.
Why would
I don't think he can manage a human.
Below me be a reference? I'm CEO. I wouldn't get. You don't give the plebs as references, okay?
I don't know, man. Sounds sus.
I am my own reference. That's how it goes.
I'm writing you a negative recommendation and reference on LinkedIn.
Oh, God.
Hey, all right, Luke. Ty, introduce us.
Episode 83, Talking Hockey.
No, more energy, Ty.
Okay. And welcome to episode 83 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
Thank you.
That was my energy.
Much better, Ty.
Yeah, thank you.
So much energy.
Yeah. Martin, we're basically Eric, spitting chiclets at this point with how much energy we bring.
I wanted to say,
Eric,
since we're on the topic of conversation, would you write me like a reference letter?
Of course.
If I needed it?
Of course. Of course I would. What do you mean? I'd write a great reference letter.
Yeah. No. Awesome.
I require payment of $10.
Eric, remember to move the mic a little bit from your face, right? I don't know how you forget mic tips every single week.
It sounds like unethical behavior.
I don't think it's unethical. I think it's more just
paid for
like
good reference.
In Eric's interest, you know?
All right.
So are we recording after video? Talking politics.
Are we on video / are we on live?
No, we're not live.
Oh, wow. That ended quickly.
Luke didn't share the Twitch yet. Luke stopped his that Instagram account, Talking Hockey Podcast, is now dead.
No, yeah, he'll be back.
He hasn't posted on it. I predicted this would happen. I knew the second Luke made that account, I knew he would post on it for like a week and then never post on it again. And I'm as of right now, I'm right. Also,
he'll
Martin's wearing my watch I gave him. That's cute.
Oh, nice. All right, guys. I don't want to cut
off. I noticed. I noticed, Martin.
I bought from him.
Why do I have to cut off four minutes of this intro? Shut up. Focus.
You're not going to cut any of this.
We exchange gifts.
Okay, I'm not going to cut any of this.
You're not. Yeah, I don't know. You're definitely not. I gifted Martin that watch, although
I want the audience to know. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so first week of hockey. How exciting is it? How's your fantasy teams doing? How are your favorite teams doing?
Martin's beating me right now, barely, in fantasy. And the reason is freaking stupid. It's because Jordan Kyrou decided to go off and put up like 5 points in a game or some nonsense, whatever the hell that was. I was so mad. I was like killing him in points. And then all of a sudden I looked at my phone the next morning and I was like, how did he catch up? He had one player playing. And all of a sudden I look at it and it's Jordan Kyrou with 6 points in two games. Nonsense. But yeah, good call on his breakout, Martin. Good job.
Hey, he did well at the start of last year too.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he's not going to
streaks.
Yeah, he's not. If he doesn't, he's only playing 13 minutes a night. He's not going to keep that up if he's playing 13.
If he's playing 13 minutes a night, he needs to play more.
We had our fantasy talk. Sorry, I just wanted to see is Eric's team injured already again like last year?
No, I actually don't have major injuries yet. But Pasternak hasn't done anything for me yet. Ehlers hasn't done anything for me yet. So some of my big guns have. Disappointed so far. Also, my goaltending kind of worrying right now because a couple of my guys.
Did you take one of Arizona's goalies?
No, but I have Khudobin, who for some reason Dallas has decided Holtby's their starter, and I was like, I did not see that happening, so that's unfortunate. And then Samsonov splitting the net with Vinicek,
well.
Which I figured would happen. So yeah, some L's on goaltending, and then Calgary sucks. And I have Markstrom, and Calgary's lost every game so far, I'm pretty sure. And
Markstrom's getting lit up.
Yeah, and Markstrom's getting lit up. So goaltending not so good right now.
I wanted to make a comment to start off the year.
Just FYI, Eric, this is the first year I haven't gone with Markstrom as my starter in fantasy for like 3 years. And there was a reason I didn't like Markstrom. But I went with Hellebuck, and he's doing much worse. So
yeah, Hellebuck sucks too.
Was Nick right? Controversial take.
Is Hellebuck actually not a top
fucking Fleury sucks? So Nick's not right.
Yeah, Fleury's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, Fleury got lit up. If anyone got lit up, Jesus.
I want to make
Chicago has like two even strength goals over the first like four games or something. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Ty, what did you want to say?
So I wanted to say a good place to start about the first week of the season might be the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know if anyone was watching the game yesterday. They had a 5-3 lead late in the game against Minnesota, and they blew it and lost in overtime. Joel Eriksson Ek, stats darling, got a hat trick yesterday. But they've had a very poor start to the season. And I always wondered this, but like, why is Paul Maurice never, ever on the hot seat? Yeah, he's never on the hot seat.
He shouldn't even be their coach. Like,
how many times, man, how many people before the season started said Winnipeg is the best team in Canada? Like last year, right? Yeah. How many years in a row are they saying that Winnipeg is good when they're just like this average team and they have such terrible coaching
Button
decisions?
Always kills me. Craig Button kills me because he always picks like the worst teams to be the best. Like he looked at like
Craig
Vancouver
Button,
last
Elliot
year.
A lot of people like the Jets. Like Elliot and Merrick both love the Jets.
It's a hockey guy thing because they all love Blake Wheeler, who isn't really
good
that
anymore.
Great anymore. Like, they love like Josh Morrissey, who hasn't been good in like years. They love Mark Scheifele. Like Mark Scheifele's sick. But he's not like he was on a trajectory to be like a top 10 center. And then now he's like, you know, 20, around the 20s, something like that. So like
he might be the most overrated player in the league.
Yeah. And then Maurice is a bad coach. And
this is my reason why
Josh Morrissey's overrated by a lot.
No, this is why everyone hypes up Winnipeg from TSN. All right. Because Bell owns the arena. That's my take. Bell MTS Center. That's why. Same thing with Montreal.
It's probably like one of the smallest revenue streams from them ever is those naming rights.
So, yeah, I know.
I want to
just It's my hot take.
I want to touch on Paul Maurice quickly. So
you want to touch Paul Maurice?
Yeah, I want to touch Paul Maurice. Touch on him. So, Eric, guess who was not on Winnipeg's first power play last night?
Ehlers.
Nikolai Ehlers.
Yeah, you sent it to us.
Guess who was Steve on Nash their first power play?
Steve Nash.
Riley Nash.
Not Steve Nash.
Playing the net front on power play one, Nikolai Ehlers on the bench. And then here's the other thing.
There's nothing Ehlers can do to get on the top power play unit. It's like Maurice just refuses. It doesn't matter what he does, Ehlers will consistently be on the second power play unit despite being their best player for the last 2 years, basically.
And
like, people say it all the time that Ehlers is probably the best player. I don't know
Hellebuyck, he is clearly the best player on that team. Like, I don't even think it's that close. Like, I think there's like Ehlers and then, you know, people listening aren't going to see this, my hand motion, but there's like a gap and then there's Scheifele and then, you know, Kyle Connor right underneath probably too. Right? Like, it's not even clear and it's absurd that he just won't get there and it's screwed up his fantasy value forever. Again, we don't want to focus too much on fantasy, but it's
Ty. What was the second thing you were going
to
say?
Eric's frustrated by that.
So Riley Nash, I swear to God, someone fact check this, but I think Riley Nash has 3 goals in his past 3 seasons he's played in the NHL and he's on your first power play. I don't even think that's an exaggeration.
No, it's not that much of an exaggeration. Riley Nash.
Martin's going to go check after he drops his mic.
Yeah, Martin just destroyed his desk there.
It's so absurd. Like, I don't know. Yeah, and again, like Ty, like your main point about he's never even on the hot seat. Like, it's not even like, okay, it's one thing for him not to get fired. You know, teams love to hold on to coaches too long, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he's never even on the hot seat. It's never even reported like, ooh, Winnipeg's having issues with Maurice. It's like he's the staple and they'll do anything else around that.
Well, every article I read prior to the season about picking like dark horses for a hot seat, I think the one was by The Score and it didn't even put Paul Maurice in the Jack Adams category for like dark horse for the Jack Adams.
Hockey guys love Paul Maurice. And I know,
but normally
sense.
The Score is better than that. Normally the Score.
Yeah. The score in The Athletic
like are mediocre journalism, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, but it's still like even The Athletic won't say Paul. Like The Athletic is one of the more, you know, progressive, like writer groups out there, and they still don't even put Paul Maurice on the hot seat most of the time. Like it's so absurd. There's like 2 writers there that do.
Yeah, so Riley Nash is not a big overall point guy.
Really? Yeah. Riley Nash is not a big overall. I think he had like a career high of 40 points in Columbus like 1 year.
Boston,
and then he went to, and then he became like a defensive specialist and literally scores like 3 goals a year.
Yeah.
Yes. And then now the
that
news
is correct.
Maybe the reason they gave up so much last night is they have a COVID outbreak right now. News came out about that like an hour ago. I was just looking at it on TSN. Cause I know Blake Wheeler has it. Maybe the rest of them do too. But I mean, I don't like Winnipeg's not a great team. Also, why is like Shovel Day off never on the hot seat either?
Never.
Like, wild. Do you have something to say, Ty?
Yeah, I have one thing to say.
Shovel Day off, at least, like, to defend him, he hasn't, like, you know, there's worse GMs out there.
Yes. I'm surprised David Boyle still has a job.
Shovel Day off's been a long tenured GM and still hasn't done anything, like, too egregious. His team's just mediocre. Like the team he's put together is just mediocre.
And the main issue that his team's mediocre is because he refuses to get a good coach, which is his fault.
Yeah.
Yes, but like, yeah. Sorry, Ty, you put your hands up to say something.
Yes. Here's one other thing that's going to piss you off. Okay. I know you're a big Cole Perfetti guy. Okay.
Love Cole Perfetti.
He was scratched last night. I think the Jets had some injuries, but he was scratched last night anyway. Everyone's like, oh, Cole Perfetti might be injected in the lineup for some speed and some youth and some scoring.
I mean, Cole Perfetti isn't that fast, but I think people just like look at young guys and they go, they must be fast.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's not my fast. I know Cole Perfetti can't skate. That's my biggest criticism. Yep. So what I wanted to say is that he was scratched last night. Paul Maurice said, I want to play 11 forwards and 7 defensemen last night. So he dressed Nathan Beaulieu instead of Cole Perfetti, dressed 70. How long do you think Nathan Beaulieu played last night? I'll give you a hint.
3 minutes?
Yeah, 4 minutes. He played 4 minutes last night.
No.
And Cole Perfetti.
Classic Paul Maurice.
He got assigned to the AHL today.
Yeah, he got assigned to the AHL this morning, I think. I think he's ready to get – I think he should have gotten at least a few games. You know, put him on the third line, give him some power play time, whatever, and just see what he does. But he dominated – he didn't dominate, but he did very well in the AHL last year. So I think he'll be back up. But again, Paul Maurice, not a good development guy. Not a good coach. Like, I don't know what people exactly see in Paul Maurice. I don't get it.
So that was my first.
And Winnipeg is now winless because of him. Yeah. So good. But on the other end of the
equation, he'll probably be on the hot seat quite soon.
I don't think so. Like, hockey guys love this team for whatever reason because they think they're still the big.
If they go like 0-6, I don't know. When they were,
there's another team out there that's another Canadian team that's bad.
Well, on the opposite end of Winnipeg is Buffalo, who have 3 wins and like not dominating wins, but very, you know, solid wins overall. And now people are accusing that Eichel was actually the issue and that he was the reason that Buffalo never won any games. So there's that.
Yeah.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And now we'll get back into the show.
That's funny because Eichel was injured for half of last year anyway.
Yeah.
But,
so Eichel was clearly the issue last year when he was injured and wasn't playing too, right? And they were still losing. And O'Reilly was obviously the issue before Eichel took over when he was there and then moved to St. Louis and won a cup. So... like I even got
they realistically haven't played very good teams.
Of course, doesn't matter. Yeah, but they assumed to be the worst.
Every team on paper is better. Yeah.
No, like, but they played the Canadiens who kind of suck. They played the Coyotes who also suck, and they played the Canucks who have the worst defense in the league.
That's true.
Getting some wins against those teams.
But getting wins against the shitty teams is, you know, what they need to do, too. Right?
Like, lose their chance at winning the
Do the Canucks really have the shittiest defense in the league? Because I can't name one defenseman on Buffalo Sabres. I can't even think of one. Montour, is he still there?
Darlene?
No.
Oh, Darlene, right. Right, yeah. We talk about him a lot on the show. I'm surprised I forgot about that name.
I think he started well. That's good for them.
Yeah, they got rid of a lot of their big name guys, Ristolainen, Jake McCabe.
Well, so far, apparently, Buffalo has the best expected goals against in the league after 3 games.
They're the best defensive team, but again, they played really bad defensive and offensive teams. Like, even Vancouver without Quinn Hughes isn't exactly, you know, bursting with offense, especially from the
Brock Besser.
It was a dark blue and Kool-Aid Besser. Map, though. Like, dark, dark blue Kool-Aid map.
Negative 43% compared to the league average, which is massive.
That's why we love 3-game sample sizes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 3-game sample sizes are the best. I just wanted to talk about it because people are, again, making it the classic Buffalo Sabres mantra of, okay, Eichel must be the problem. Just like O'Reilly was the problem. Ship him out and all of a sudden they suck again.
Eric.
Yep.
Can you prove that Eichel wasn't the problem?
No.
Checkmate. You can't prove a negative. So, checkmate. Yes, this is true. I can't.
Exactly.
No.
There you go.
But the interesting thing would be, like, you know, 2018 when they went like 18-6, then they were like first in the NHL after 20 something games. and then they still ended up in the bottom three or four spots. Because, again, you know, if you suck, you can be good in small sample sizes, but you'll still suck at the end of the day anyways. But yeah, that's kind of my little thing.
So in that, flip that on its head, is Montreal really this bad, Eric?
They're not this bad where they're going to lose, go 0-82 or whatever it is, but they're not a good team. They're not a playoff team. You know, Suzuki isn't a number one center. Dvorak's barely a number two center. Ideally a number three center.
I saw a tweet today that said Suzuki's been on for a total of like five scoring chances for or something like that. And he's like, in comparison, Marner's been on for 50.
Yeah. It's not even close. Yeah. I think it was on my story.
I don't have Instagram anymore.
No. Oh, right. You deleted it.
Yeah.
That's why he's not posting on the Talking Hockey podcast. He doesn't even have Instagram.
Well, I have that one, but I deleted the app, so I just have to download it whenever I have to upload.
I see. So the issue with Suzuki is, and I think like a lot of people talked about this on Twitter, like, you know, you moved him from getting second line matchups, second and third line pairings, because the Deneau, Gallagher, Tatar line kind of took those on. And now he's getting all those matchups, and Nick Suzuki plays a little bit safer when he's a safer player, especially against like some of these top players, it seems like, at least from what we've seen so far. So he's not generating offense. He's just kind of, you know, trying not to get scored against, which isn't ideal for one of the very few guys on your team that actually is okay offensively.
This was the problem with signing that big deal before the season. I mean, I think we all said it was going to be fine, but I mean,
yeah,
three games, whatever. But it's been a very poor three games, and the team needs something to change.
All I'll say right now is, like, every Montreal fan and Ottawa Senators fan that makes fun of the Marner contract, neither team can really talk anymore when Suzuki and Tkachuk at this point are more overpaid than Marner is. So that's my take on it. I think I thought Martin would get more angry over it, but I didn't see a reaction from him.
Well, Martin, yeah, what Martin's hot take was that he would take Brady Tkachuk over Mitch Marner making any money, making league minimum.
Sounds like a Martin take, to be honest. So.
Hyperbole.
No. Yeah. Brady Tkachuk and his 50 points, you can enjoy him.
I still think Suzuki will live up to the contract.
I'd take Tkachuk over Marner.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
And I hate Marner, and I'm laughing.
and Ty hates Marner with like a passion.
I bet people would agree with me.
Idiots would agree with you.
Yeah, you can go talk to that guy.
Needs Marner, a player like Marner.
Oh my god.
Wait, what?
They teams have Nylander. Nylander's like,
they don't need a 100-point winger.
Toronto specifically.
They're considering the last few games how they haven't scored that much. I think they need Marner. Well, they actually,
but it's not Nylander like they haven't scored much. They've actually like dominated every single game.
But they haven't actually scored.
I know.
Dominating and scoring is different. They should.
It's ridiculous. And Igor Shesterkin, Anton Forsberg was just ridiculous.
Both of those two lead the league in goals saved above expected right now. I'm pretty sure they're like 2 and 3, but Jack Campbell's number one.
I know. I think.
So just good goaltending in every single Leafs game so far, basically, for both sides.
You know what I started loving?
Breakout year coming.
You know what?
Were we done with Montreal already? Seemed like a quick conversation about worst team.
I'll go back to it.
Okay. I was going to say, we tied in touch on it, which I really wanted him to.
A big thing I enjoy in Leafs games is every time Campbell makes a save, the crowd goes, soup.
My favorite thing about the Leafs season so far is how much Ty said throughout the entire summer he doesn't care about the regular season and how much he cares about the regular season.
I don't care about the regular season.
nobody messages the group more during a Leafs game than Ty.
No one watches them, so that doesn't really make a difference.
But I don't if I have other plans, I don't care anymore. You know,
exactly.
Like, they hurt me last year.
Their attendance isn't even like that good. They're not even at 100% right now.
Okay. Which, yeah. You want to know why?
It's like less than 200 people less.
Hmm.
They're only missing like sold out crowds by like 200 people, and they're all suits.
Well, yeah. they usually go above capacity, right? It's usually like 102% or whatever, however they come up with those numbers. But yeah.
Yeah, the prices are also astronomical.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's the real issue. But again, the prices have always been astronomical.
I know, but now you're paying astronomical prices to potentially be coughed on and spat on by your neighbor who's drunk.
That's
which I mean, it was always the thing, but we have a pandemic thing that's kind of happened.
Yeah, also, true, but I would other say teams are at 100.
Because of that pandemic, there's less people willing to pay that much money to go to a Leaf game.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that in Toronto. I don't think that's an issue in Toronto.
I don't know if I'll ever go to a concert ever again. I even think about a concert and like how many people were next to me. And I don't like concerts in the first place because I don't like crowds like that. Like, why would I ever pay to go to a concert? I mean,
so
I'm
going
to jump
to a club again either or a bar.
Are you developing?
I don't really like bars that much either. No, I just hate crowds. I don't really like clubbing.
I mean, I've never really been a concert guy. Like, I've gone to a few concerts, but I've never been like a, you know, oh, I have to go to concerts. But
why? Eric, that's where all the 19-year-old girls are.
Oh, God.
Your favorite demographic?
I prefer 20 and above. I think that's my limit. I'm 25 now.
Does the podcast audience know we met your girlfriend? I forget if we mentioned it.
I'm not sure.
Maybe, we met Eric's girlfriend. Very nice, very friendly. That's all I'll say.
It was good when she walked in.
Is there a ring on it?
I was a few twisted teas deep and she walked in and I was like, oh, Eric, is this your girlfriend? He's like, yeah. And then I was like, we've heard so much about you.
Yeah,
awkward silence.
Like literally awkward silence.
I was like, oh God, what's Ty going to say right now?
Awkward silence. I'm sitting right beside Ty. I look at Ty and like everyone starts talking again. I said, Ty, why would you say that? And he's just like, I don't know. It's true. We have heard a lot about her. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't say that, buddy.
I literally like, I thought Ty was about to spit out something like that. I told you guys like one time and I was like, oh no, what's about to happen?
I whacked his leg right after he said that. I'm pretty sure. So he knew to shut up.
That is a dad thing to say.
A dad thing to say or an idiot thing to say?
Both.
Both. <Yeah.
laughs> Depending on how old you are, both.
It made me laugh. It made everyone at the party laugh after the fact. In the moment, very awkward.
Especially because she didn't know who any of you were, too. It made it so much worse. She walked in the room. She didn't know anybody there. She had never met a single person.
Not even Lowen?
Lowen came with us, right? So except for Lowen. Okay. Yeah.
What did she have to say about Ty saying that? Did she say anything afterwards or no?
No, she probably forgot about it.
Give us the behind the scenes. Oh, darn. Good.
All I remember is that she said she liked Luke, and I was like, that makes no sense. Something's wrong with you. I considered breaking up with her on the spot right there. I was like, okay, you have a bad judge in character, and I'm not sure we should be together. But yeah.
It's funny. We all say the same thing about the fact that she's dating you. So,
I also judge her for that too. I'm just like, the major red flag with you is that you are dating me. So, yeah, something's wrong.
I agree. Everyone likes
me. Back to hockey.
Sorry.
That was a good sidetrack.
The Habs.
Though.
Habs.
Yeah, go off on the Habs.
I don't know. I can't really say I've watched too much of them. They had a really good start against the Leafs, but ever since then, ever since the first period against the Leafs in game one, it's just been, they've been awful. What happened to the team? I think you shared the story that Jack Hahn posted on Twitter where he's like, the team lost Weber and they lost Deneau and Petrie's bad. Yeah, they lost. Yeah. Petrie's bad. They have a coach who doesn't know what he's doing. They don't have Carey Price. I mean, say what you want about Carey Price, but he was the backbone of their team last year. Everything that got to the Stanley Cup Finals, everything that took to the Stanley Cup Finals is no longer there. Caulfield is awful. Suzuki has been awful. I don't know what they do. David Savard.
Why is Ducharme getting so much hate though? So like 4 games into the season,
he was such a good coach last year.
It's because he wasn't actually that great of a coach last year either. Like, ignore the playoffs for a second and just look at the regular season.
Yeah.
And
he, if they weren't doing that well to get into the playoffs.
They weren't doing well. No. It was clear his system wasn't working that well. They squeaked into the playoffs.
They also don't have a very skilled team, though. Like, he doesn't really have a lot to work
with. But it doesn't matter because last year they were still their expected goals. They just had a whole bunch of guys, and it's been the same thing for Montreal the past 3 years. They generate good chances, but they have a whole bunch of guys who just shoot the puck in the goalie's chest.
Yep. But now they're not even doing that. No, they can't even generate chances. Yeah. Like
they're getting dominated. They got dominated by Buffalo.
Yeah, that's bad. If you get dominated by Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, and Ducharme, like, okay, if I would put money on this. If the Leafs beat Montreal in game 5 or even game 6 last year, there's no way that Bergeron would come back.
He would have been fired.
They're done.
Both of them would have been gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arguably,
a great example of stop rewarding people for bad process or bad processes and good outcomes.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm Thinking so in Beds by Annie Duke. Read the book.
Question: does the same thing that happened to Ottawa pretty much happen to Montreal? Because this is what happened to Ottawa back in the day. They went too far, thought they were better than they were, traded for Duchesne, and shit just went sideways.
I don't see them doing that. I think
Montreal knows they're not good, and they didn't go and make that move.
Yeah,
which Bergeron at least
they did. Ottawa did it this time that year. Like, they were not doing well.
Yeah, they did.
Ish.
No, but they were doing better.
They were doing better than the Canadians are.
Again, it's too early to say better because like this could turn around real quick. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't see it happening though. Because I don't think Montreal, especially after the mate, because at least that Ottawa team, they didn't lose anyone. You know, they didn't lose big parts of their that team. Year. I think that's the difference. Yeah, that year. They didn't lose any big parts of their team. Like Carlson wasn't as good, injury, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't lose any big parts, right? Like Montreal lost a top line and top D pair, basically. Yes. Right? So,
and who knows?
And goalie.
How effective Gallagher can continue to be, like,
yeah, he's getting injured a lot. His hands all screwed up in 18 different ways because he's been blocking Weber's shots continuously for multiple years.
I saw news today that Joel Edmondson's also like out for an extended period of time because of his father's battle with lung cancer. And then Bergevin also said something publicly saying, like, he feels no pressure to do anything. Like, I think him and Montreal have accepted that they're dog shit.
Yeah, and
it seems like Jeff Petrie's
Weber's basically never playing hockey again. Although I think most of us already knew that. But
like all the news coming out of Montreal this year, to be fair, has been really like not good.
Yeah, not good for them.
Like from a cultural perspective, from a leadership perspective, from like a any perspective.
Yeah,
like,
the off season was awful. Like all those, the Logan. Whatever his last name was, Mayu. Yeah, everything since then has just been, since their cup loss has just been terrible.
Yeah, like they had a really high high, and now they're probably like
it's the worst hangover.
Maybe
ever.
Lower than like the Sabres, because the Sabres just have Eichel that's going bad, but Montreal's everything that's going bad. Like that's pretty, like they might be above Arizona Coyotes, but maybe even lower than them. So it kind of sucks to go from
the. But the thing is that Arizona knows what they're doing. Buffalo has a high. They won 3 games in a row to start their season, but they know they're not good as well. No one's expecting them. No one's saying Buffalo's going to make the playoffs. They're going to come down to earth.
People were saying Montreal were going to make the playoffs, and I think most rational people were saying it's not likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, as a fan base, to go from really high to like lowest of the lows in the league probably right now, it's pretty, that sucks.
I think we called it, right? We said, they'd pull almost a Montreal would be Dallas, right? Like, great year, unlikely playoff run, a lot of luck involved, and then falls off next year. I think.
Yeah, but we didn't predict like the cultural aspects of it. Like Carey Price. Yeah,
of course.
Did you see
news that's happened is Jonathan Drouin's back.
Yeah, and he's playing well.
Do we see the news about Dallas that they're like all in, like this year they're wanting to make it work
I did see that.
If it doesn't, it seems like they'll blow it up or something.
Which is troubling because you look at that team right now and they're not all their top guys that aren't exactly doing too well.
Then they should blow it up. Over.
You're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. But they're talking about going all in this year and then blowing it up. Why not?
Yeah. I think, like,
it's just troubling going all in on a year in which their top guys aren't doing well.
Well, Jason Robertson hasn't played a game yet, just FYI. Heiskanen started well.
Radulov has no points. I have him in fantasy, so I know very vividly. Rough go.
Yeah. That was kind of foreseeable.
Hey, he was over a point per game last year in 13 games or something like that. So I figured a 60-point year was reasonable or a 50-point year was reasonable with some pins. But anyways.
Sagan has no points so far.
Do you guys want to talk about the Tampa? Kucherov?
That's what I wanted to bring up next. Oh, so yeah. I think that they've also been, I think if you were looking at the team, everyone's predicting them to three-peat. Smart people like me said they lost their top line who played the most minutes last year. And now they've lost Kucherov for who knows how long.
I don't think anyone was predicting like he's going to come back. Or at least most people weren't.
Well, win the Atlantic easily.
Yeah,
honestly, fair. Like no, they haven't shown
easily.
That.
Not easily. A lot. Everyone not was looking easily. At Florida and Toronto too. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Like everyone thought they're going to be a top team again.
Yeah, they're now with Kucherov out. It's different than last year, and I want to touch on that as well of how different it is because last year
definitely different.
Kucherov didn't play the regular season. It's been well reported, and he came back for game one of the playoffs where there's no salary cap. If Kucherov played a single regular season game last year. It would have mean having to dump Gourde, Killorn, Johnson, probably another player to fit his cap hit in. This year, they started the season cap compliant with Kucherov in because they lost their entire shutdown line, I guess.
Yeah, and Goudreau. It's not just their shutdown line. They lost Tyler Johnson too, who they had Tyler Johnson. Who's
playing like fourth line minutes?
No, playing fourth line minutes. That's huge. You get to dominate fourth line minutes too. Like you're dominating throughout your entire lineup essentially.
And they had to dump him for nothing to Chicago. But anyway, it's different this year because now Kucherov's going to be out. I think it was reported or that what they're reporting right now is like he'll be back around the Olympic break. And so that's what January, February is what we're looking at here.
I heard a month, didn't I? Am I wrong?
I was reading something. Let me fact check that and get back to you.
But I haven't read anything in a while, but at one point thought there was
if he's out for several months, yeah. If he's out several months,
Kucherov is out good 10 for that games. Team.
Yeah, 10 games. There you go.
They announced it yesterday, Ty. I can't believe you're behind on the news.
But I read somewhere that he's going to come back around the Olympic. Maybe it was 31 thoughts. Let me find it. But anyway.
No. They announced yesterday on the Twitter that it was at least 10 games. So it could be longer.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be longer than that.
But regardless, even if it's longer than that, 15 games, that's not – that sucks. That's, that's almost a quarter of the season after the couple games that they've already played. But
it's not a make or break, but I mean.
Yeah. They can still make the playoffs. Like, they're not going to be worried about that. Their real issue is going to be like, man, like the lineup does not look the same without Kucherov in it. And especially that third line, like you talked about. Like, top of the lineup still looks great. You got Braden Point. We'll see on what Stamkos still actually is versus, isn't at this point. He scored a great goal the other day. From what I saw. So maybe he is still a top player, but Palat, Braden Point, Cirelli, Alex Killorn, and then after that, it's a bunch of like just maybes, Matthew Joseph, Boris Kachuk, Taylor Radish, Patrick Maroon, Belmer, Corey Perry, Ross Colton. Like, there's not, like you said, they're missing like a top line essentially worth of talent. Coleman, Gourde, Kucherov. Like, that's massive.
I just sent you the tweet that I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. What else do we want to talk about? Oh, yeah. And all the people saying this is cap evasion and stuff again, it's nonsense because they're not going to really save that much money with putting Kucherov on LTIR. They're saving like a little bit of
it's,
money.
It's different than last year because they're not, they were already cap compliant to start the year.
Exactly. So they're not like keeping anyone or making their team better, really. Like they'll have a little bit more space at the deadline. That's it. A tiny bit more space. And they're not going to have that much of it anyways. Like right now, they have, $9.6 million in dead cap space at the deadline.
So I think that this is another conversation. We can transition into it because it was the talk of the weekend of the teams that couldn't afford players to play in the lineup to play short. Maybe if you wanted to talk about that a little bit, because that was big.
Yeah, I think that was a big topic. Well, there's so many weird takes. There's like, or not weird takes, but different takes. Like some people's takes were, you know, this is embarrassing for the league. Not having teams being able to like put out a full lineup. And I was just like, that's kind of stupid, to be honest. I don't think it's that, I don't think anyone looks at that and goes, that's embarrassing. who are these people that are like looking at the league going, oh, it's embarrassing that they can't put out a full team because of the cap. Like nobody's, I don't think anybody's looking at it like that.
Sid so said it was embarrassing for the Leafs. He said it was embarrassing for the Leafs because,
But there's like that portion of it. And then there's the other portion of it, which was, oh, the Leafs have to draft, you know, can't fill out a lineup or can't, you know, have to play a random U of T goalie because of cap reasons when, you know, that happens to half the cap strap teams in the league every single year, right? Like all of them that it might not be as extreme as U of T backup goalie. But it's, you know, they just chose to do that rather than play a skater short, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they could have done that instead.
And so then they could have done that. Recall. It's not like they couldn't put an NHL caliber goalie there. They just didn't want to bring players down and they wanted to keep guys. If they sent some guys down, you know, they could have got claimed on waivers, la-di-da-di-da. So it's just a team decision at the end of the day. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know why people are... I don't know. I thought people were like, I thought it was such a hockey thing, like overreacting about like the smallest little thing in the world.
It's just an easy dunk on the Leafs because they had to play a guy who sat on the bench for 60 minutes and it was never an issue in a game that they dominated. But it was Dubas is a terrible GM because they can't afford to dress their third goalie in a game.
It was such a dumb topic. And then the whole embarrassment part of it, I was just like, it's not embarrassing on the league. Like, there's no fan in the world that's like, this is embarrassing. Like, who are these people? Like, I don't know who these people are.
But, like, it happened to Colorado. The thing is that it happened to Colorado, too. Like, they played 19 skaters.
It happens. They played every team that's near the cap, it happens to. Every team, because the second injuries come on and they need to, and they can't put them on LTR because they're day to day and they can't bring people up. They play short. It happens to, like, most cash
in Colorado. Colorado's was because of like COVID or something. So
and it's going to happen a lot with COVID. It's going to happen a lot with, you know, teams that are up against the cap, and it's going to happen a lot to teams that get injuries. It happens to everyone. Like, I don't like it. I get it's the Leafs and they get a lot of attention, but this was such a thing. I was just like, I didn't even want to put a story about it. I didn't even write a story about it. I took some screenshots and I was going to post it. And I'm like, this is too depressing to make a post about. Like, this is so stupid. I don't want to talk about this. And then I don't want the dumbass DMs I'm going to get in response to it either. It was so stupid.
Your post had a lot of dumb comments on it. No offense to the people who commented, including Martin. But
I was trying to rile people up.
It's dumb.
You got me.
Getting tile riled up, tie riled up is like the lowest of the low.
That's true.
It's easy pickings. It's picking apples off the ground in October.
Also, big news, Kessel wants to get traded.
Well, that was before the season started.
That's not shocking at all.
Was it? I thought this only came out like a day or two ago.
No, it was like before the season. He's not in their long-term plans.
I think Eric might be right. I think Eric, because...
I read it in September.
No. But they weren't saying Kessel wants to move. They were saying Arizona wants to move. But if Kessel wants to move.
Kessel wants to be traded, and apparently the Coyotes are actually now trying to make it happen too. Kessel to the Lightning, as a replacement for Kucherov.
But if Kucherov's only out 10 games, then I mean, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like that idea. Oh, also, apparently the Lightning had asked Stamkos to waive his no movement clause, but I think we talked about that over the summer.
It would have made sense. It would have made a whole lot of sense, but I don't see why he would. You gave it to him. Doesn't have to move it to help the it's his team. It's his franchise, basically, right? He brought that franchise to life.
I mean, he didn't bring it to life because they had won the cup in like
Marty St. Louis, LeCavalier, but he brought them back.
2000. What year did they win the cup? 2004. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So I guess he brought them back to life in a sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. So is that any other news that I can't really think of right now?
I don't think so.
There's talk about Nashville wanting to trade Forsberg.
Here's a good topic that I think we need to discuss. How is David Poile still like the GM of the Predators? Is this his final year? He's been there for like 27 years of the franchise.
Yeah.
Or however old the Nashville is.
He's done nothing good in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Like I understand he was pretty good in like the middle tens, but
also this is even worse. He traded Ryan Ellis for basically Cody Glass, and then now Cody Glass is in the AHL. They just assigned him to the AHL yesterday or the day before. So his return for Ryan Ellis, who's arguably a number one defenseman, at worst a top pairing defenseman, was an AHL forward. That was his return for him.
Can we talk about how
and then signed Ekholm,
but we had this discussion already, but yeah. What did you say, Martin?
The Ottawa Senators traded Mark Stone for Eric Brännström, and now they're shopping Eric Brännström.
I know. That trade. Okay, so it's crazy because
that trade's looking real bad right now.
But you know what trade is looking good?
At the time, though. Like
at the time, at least, it was like Brännström has a high end and potential and stuff, but yeah.
Yes.
That's what were you saying, Ty?
I was going to say, like, the Erik Karlsson trade, on the other hand, looks great.
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
But you know what's going to – what they traded Mark Stone for nothing. But what's going to be bad is when they trade Erik Brännström for, like, a fifth-round pick, and then he becomes the team's top four defenseman. They fixed him his value.
That'll be peak Ottawa Senators right there, I feel. Because Brännström's still – like, I don't understand why –
You can't tell me
it's not working out.
You can't tell me that Brännström isn't better than Michael Delzotto.
Yes.
That, yeah, 100%. I don't really get it. Like, they don't seem to be playing.
They've never given him a chance. DJ Smith has even said that he doesn't like him. And your
brother was unsubstantiated.
And I don't even get why DJ Smith doesn't like him, because DJ Smith clearly doesn't have any issues with guys that can't play defense, because he loves Tim Stützle, and he loves Michael Dezotto. He loves Nikita Zaitsev. He loves Thomas Chabot.
I don't know.
Chabot can't play defense at all.
Yeah. DJ Smith has been hyping up Zaitsev. He's been hyping up Zaitsev for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, this guy is so tough to play against. And all the other teams are like, he's so tough to play against. You shouldn't play him. Play him some more. Play him some more, please.
My favorite time. They were playing the Leafs on Saturday, and he like bullied the goalie over to try to stop the puck himself.
Yeah. Right. He's lost
him. He's 22. And like, for some reason, they're not giving him a chance. Like, this is the time to give him a chance.
And he's dominated the AHL. There's nothing else for him to do in the A. Like, there's NHL.
His 30 game year two years ago wasn't even bad. No, last year wasn't even bad. 13 points in 30 games.
Yeah, that's almost a 40 point pace. That's a 30 point pace right there. Almost 35 point pace.
Like, you're just killing his confidence going back and forth and stuff.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It doesn't make sense why the coach doesn't like him if he continues to play a bunch of other defensemen that can't play defense either. Like, I'd get it if he had like a bunch of defensemen and, you know, they all played defense and he liked, you know, the way they played, but none of those guys play defense. Stützle doesn't play defense. Chris Tierney isn't exact, you know, he started out pretty decent defensively, but it's fallen apart. So I don't know. It doesn't really make any sense to me at all. Yeah.
I think that might be it.
I think that's it, yeah, boys. I think that's it. Next week we'll do the Corey Pronman thing.
Yeah, so next week we'll go over his redrafting of 2019 and 2020. He has kept Lafreniere, for a hint for next week, he has kept Lafreniere as the number one pick, but he has moved up Stützle to number two. And he dropped Lucas Raymond all the way to tier four, which is insulting considering Lucas Raymond has been sick this year so far.
Hey, your boy Bacon also said that before the season. You're your best friend.
So we don't like this list, Bacon, is what Eric's saying.
Yeah, I don't like it right now, but we'll see. We'll see how she goes. We'll see how she goes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for joining us this week. We'll be back later.
Yes. See you next week.
Good job, Ty. Good job.
Good, great.
Ty, that was too low energy. You suck.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.